Hun?
Things I tend to forget. If you want to get out your outline, now would be a great time for you to do that. We're going to be talking tonight about one of my favorite studies. I come back to this study every now and then, and I fill it in differently. Because there are certain things that I just tend to forget. So I would like to go over those with you tonight and look at what God has to say in His Word and remind us all tonight of those things. But I thought that in case you were maybe a little bit skeptical that we do tend to forget things, I thought the right thing to do would be to start with a game show. Come on, let's start the Things I Tend to Forget game show. All right, here we go. Yeah. I can't believe I forgot that game. This is going to be a good game. I'm going to give you something, and then you have to see if you remember it, okay? It's that simple. So I'm going to have certain age groups that I might have certain questions for. I need my sidekick. Where's my buddy? Mr. Robert, come on down. I got to have my neighbor, Mr. Robert. Right. He has the worst job in the game. He has to decide who was the first person with their hand up. And then if they get it wrong, because it's stuff we tend to forget, then he has to come up with the second person. Usually about three, people start throwing little mutinies. No, mine was up before them. So that's how we're going to work it, okay? Let me just make sure I have the right pieces here. This is high. All right. Teaching from the tongue these days. Doing that for all our web Virginians. We've made some changes so that we can get our service on the web a little bit easier. Oh, I've got it. Okay. Now, this first question, I definitely want this to be answered by someone 30 and over. Okay, 30 and over, all right? You have to answer this one. Okay, Mr. Robert, are you game?
Ladies, you got to be honest.
Right. Now, you know, if you get it right, if you didn't forget it, you're going to get a super terrific, wonderful prize. All right? Because I always give out super terrific, wonderful prizes. You got them, right, Robert? All right, so get ready. I'm going to read the question. Robert, scan that audience, because these people are serious about winning. Miss Lori, give me the first question. What are the first five digits of pi? Yeah, what are the first five digits of pi? I don't need you to take it out to 9 or 10, Aaron. I only need the first five digits of pi. Yeah, I want the first five digits, and I'm even going to accept a little bit of a different answer here because some people round up, some people go exact. Who was it, Robert?
Mike.
Mr. Mike von Fabian, what are the first five digits of pi?
That's spelled that way. 3.14159.
Woo, let me see it. 3.1416, yes, we rounded up to 1.6. Mr. Ryu are correct. You took it out to the first seven digits. You get a super terrific. Now comes the real tough part. Who over 30 forgot that? Pi, right? I know. So we do. We tend to forget that. In school, we all knew 3.1416. We all knew it. Okay, now this one is open to anyone. Okay, open to any age group on this one, all right? So get ready. You ready, guys? Okay, now you know the family, so it might be a little bit of a problem. But friends of the family, but I'll still let you in, all right? Here's the question. Who was the second president of the United States? Simple. Who was the second president of the United States? Can I just know who the second president really was? Robert, look at all these young people over here ready to give us answers. None.
I see a young lady there. She had her hand up, went down, and checked real quick, but she's in.
Second president of the United States. Did you say James Madison? That's a great, great try. It's not right. But it's a good try. And how old are you? How old were you? Oh, and you forgot it already? I'm sorry. Robert, who was number two? Lauren! Oh, let's see it. Okay, Belvedere Township School, let's hear it. John Adams? John Adams! Wow, all right. All right. Now, my little friend, the 8-year-old, it was honest, that she forgot. Who forgot who the second president of the United States was? I know. The president of the United States. Hey, things we tend to forget, right? What are you going to do? All right, this is one of my favorites. This is open to anyone. Open to anyone. Some of you are a little young for this, but we'll see. Miss Lori, take me through question number three, where they can see who shot President Reagan. Who shot President Reagan?
Right in the center here. Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby. Thank you for playing, though. I appreciate you being here. We have a consolation prize for you. You get to hear me preach. All right. Now, right over here, Mr. Dave. Did you say John Hinckley? That Hinckley, he was crazy. John Hinckley, absolutely. Mr. John Hinckley shot the president. All right, now we're going to bring it down. It might have been a little tough. I know. It's a little tough. So I'm going to bring it down a little bit. How about state capitals, right? State capitals, no problem. Miss Lori, the capital of Nevada. Who knows the capital of Nevada?
Second chance.
Oh, capital of Nevada. I heard Bugs Bunny say it. Capital of Nevada is? Oh, that's okay. Who was number two? Mr. Robert. I thought I saw someone over here. Who was there? Was it in the back? Carson City is the capital of Nevada. That's it, Miss Lori. There it is, Carson City. All right. Come clean. Who got it wrong? Who did not remember the capital? Yeah, because you didn't put your hands up. Yeah, you didn't have them up, so I know you forgot it. Don't act like the I never knew it. I'm not going that route. All right. One more chance for a super terrific, wonderful prize. Right, these are Swedish fish. Now, fish is good for you. These are Swedish fish, and we got these. That's very good for you, fish. All right? So this one, I'm gonna bring it up a little bit. All right, I want all three. I want all three on this, okay? Miss Lori, let's take them. Who were the men of Apollo 11? Now, this is the Apollo that went to the moon, okay? This is the first one, landed on the moon. Remember, Sea of Tranquility, very cool. 19, what's the 69? They were 69? Who's the best? Okay, but I need three, buddy. Bing! Did you say Alan Shepard? Thank you for playing, Bug. Get ready to pack up later. All right. Thank you very much for playing, though. It was a good try. That's why I call it things we tend to forget. Who knows the three men of Apollo 11? Tom Hanks.
Drew, wait a minute.
It's Apollo 13. Here we go. Neil Armstrong, bing. Buzz Aldrin, bing. Come on, you got the last one. He piloted the ship around. Michael Collins, you're correct. You got it. All right, give him a present, Bug. All right. Woo! My goodness, this is a crazy church. I like this church. It's crazy. Gang, we are forgetful people. We are. We forgot some pretty important things there. And guess what? God knows we're forgetful people. God knows that. That's why if you look in the Bible, God has a whole bunch of really cool practices in the Bible to help us not forget. Sometimes in the Old Testament, the people will come to a certain area and God would say to them, build an altar. He wants them to go take rocks and pile the rocks into a pile. And that every time you come back there, you will remember something significant took place here. You want to remember what that thing was. There's places in the Bible where God establishes certain days, days like Passover, Day of Atonement, days of remembering something that God did. Communion, when we remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. God knows that we forget. And I have to be honest with you, there are truths that God has told us, truths that each of us have learned that we have forgotten. Just plain outright tend to forget. This past week has been kind of a week of reflection for me, and I've enjoyed being able to have God kind of reteach me a couple things to remind me to look back at some of those markers and say, there's something that I just tend to forget every now and then. And I'm hoping that after tonight, maybe you'll say, yeah, I tend to forget that too. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever take a placement test? Did you ever take a placement test like an SAT or some type of evaluation test? Where they're going to tell you how smart you are or how smart you need to be. See, the first thing we tend to forget is this. Your resume is equal to everybody else's resume. What? Let's see what God has to say. You see, on those tests that we tend to take, I remember when we were having our children, we would take our children in every week, or not every week, but every so many weeks to the doctor, and they would put them on a scale, and they would weigh them, and they would tell us where they rank in the 100th percentile. And then they would tell you their length and where they rank in the 100th percentile. And me, you know, being a typical dad, I always want to get a big number, you know. Katie, come on, 90th percentile and better. You can do it. We like that kind of stuff. You really didn't want to hear, oh, your child is a 3. You didn't really want to hear that too much. You want to go for the good number. You see, we want to be on top. We want to be better than most. And if we rank better, well then, we throw our shoulders back and we strut our stuff a little bit. We start to build what we consider to be an impressive resume. But if we come out on the low side, if we get that 3 on the evaluation, well, we tend to accept and we tend to buy into a belief that we're a little bit inferior to the rest of the world. We tend to believe that maybe we're second rate to the higher percentile people. And as time goes by, we tend to act upon those substandard evaluations of ourselves, and we start to live by them. I know I did that. I did that big time. But the thing we tend to forget is that God doesn't give a rip about what those evaluations say. God doesn't care if those evaluations say you're wonderful, and God doesn't care if that evaluation says you're awful. He doesn't care about those evaluations. Let me tell you a true story. You're going to make this very interesting. You see, there was this boss, kind of a chief, and a person who was in charge, and this boss, this head man, he wanted to accomplish a very, very, very big task. He wanted to liberate a nation. Liberate a nation that was being oppressed. You see, the oppressive regime gave its people almost no freedom. They were very cruel to them. The people had to serve the regime. And they received only what the oppressive regime gave them. They received only what this oppressive regime gave their families to live on. And so this chief, this big shot, he needed to locate a leader. Someone who can lead an operation of liberation to get the people out from under the harshness of this evil regime. Now, I want to show you 2 resumes, but I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to actually make it easy for you to see what it looks like. I'm going to show you the 2 candidates that this boss, this main leader guy, had to pick out of. 2 resumes. Let me show you the first resume. Can you come up here, first resume, and stand right here in the light, maybe right in front of Scott's drum kit. He was hammering that thing tonight. Yeah, right there. This is the resume. This is going to be resume number 1, okay? A possible leader. This one's going to possibly lead the operation of liberation. Now, I'm going to give you his resume, but that's only the first one he got to pick out. He got to pick a number 2 guy, too. There's a second resume that came in. I'm going to bring my other resume over here. It's another guy. He's in the running. He's going to have a resume, too, okay? And here's this big guy. He's going to have to pick who is going to be the leader. You can stand right there, sir. That's perfect. Turn around right there. This is going to be resume number 2. One of these guys has got to be picked to lead Operation Liberation, okay? Let me tell you about that guy over there, number 1. Number 1, raise your hand. Wave to the people. He loves the people. This guy's unbelievable. This guy, highly decorated warrior. Highly decorated warrior, right? Hey, number 2, give the people a little wave. All right, he's a self-confessed murderer. Self-confessed murderer. Give him a little snarl. Give him a little rawr. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, okay. That's the first thing on your resume, all right? Next thing, number 1 over there was a leader who loved his men, absolutely loved the people that he served with. This guy over here, this one on the resume, number 2, this one is a leader who loved himself. Remember, the big boss got to pick one of these guys. Number 1 over there, he was careful and well thought out in his communication. When he spoke, he did it well. Number 2, tripped over every word he possibly could say, was a terrible speaker. Number 1 over there was always brave in every battle that he fought. Number 2 over here was invited to one battle, but he decided to run the other way. Number 1 over there, he has decided he will accept this role of to lead Operation Liberation if it's given to him. Number 2 has decided he will not take this role if you offer it to him. Now, my question to you is, who do you think the big boss would pick to lead Operation Liberation? Right? Well, number 2. You like number 2? Well, guess what? The chief, the big shot, oh, that was God. Oh, and he picked number two to lead his nation. Yeah. Number two, I'd like you to meet him. His name is Moses. Moses. And Moses' resume stunk. But Moses looked at number two and looked at number two's resume, and God said, "You're perfect. You're perfect." You can sit down, guys. Thank you so much, Kyle and Dave. You see, Moses led Operation Israeli Liberation from Egypt, the oppressive regime who was ruling over them. And Moses did it all with a resume that told him and everybody else, "You couldn't possibly do this." You see, in God's eyes, your resume is equal to everybody else's resume. Ever been in trouble with the law? So was Moses. Ever made some huge blunders in your life? So did Moses. Ever been an addict? Ever been pregnant? Flunked out? Lashed out? Tried to check out? Guess what? Your resume is equal to everybody else's resume, so much so that God tells us in Romans 3:23, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." No one's better than anybody else. Your resume is equal to everybody else's resume, and that's why God can use you, gang, to do what you may have come to believe is impossible. The problem is, we just tend to forget that. I know I did. There's a second thing I tend to forget. That's this. With God, there's always one more chance. I love what it says in Matthew 18. It says, at that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask. He asks Jesus, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or a sister who hurts me? 7 times? And Jesus replied, 7? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. Now, by the way, people have done the math, and they come up with the number 490, and they think, oh, God is saying we have to forgive people 490 times. But Jesus' meaning here isn't that forgiveness is limited. Jesus' purpose here in this statement is to say, you keep on forgiving. Why is that? Well, that's because God does not run out of forgiveness for his children. No matter how many times we mess up, God never says, okay, that's enough. Instead, God says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You see, gang, life is filled. All of our lives are filled with potholes, things that ruin us. We hit potholes in our careers. We hit potholes in our friendships. We hit potholes in our marriages, in our relationship with loved ones, and we even hit potholes in our relationship with God. We struggle with something we want to see changed in our lives, and we hit a pothole, a setback, a relapse. Well, just like we can believe that our resumes are inferior, we can also believe that we've reached the end of our rope, even when we've just begun. This is a story of a man that I absolutely love. Story of a Christian man, a man who loved Jesus Christ. The man tried to start a business in 31. It failed. This Christian man then ran for state legislature in 32, and he got beat. So he tried to start another business in 33, but again, that failed. In 35, this man's fiance died. In 36, this man suffered a nervous breakdown. A nervous breakdown. He thought he had reached the end of his rope and he was out of chances, but he figured with God, there's always one more chance. In 43, he ran for Congress, but he lost. He tried again in 48, lost again. He ran for Senate and lost in 55. He ran for vice president and lost in 56. In 59, he ran his last time for Senate, and he lost. That's a lot of chances. That's a lot of failure. He thought he was out of chances, but again, he remembered, with God, there's always one more chance. And so in 60, this man, Abraham Lincoln, ran for president and won. With God, there's always another chance. Westbridge, we only lose the battle in our lives when we stop fighting, when we give up, when we forget that there's always one more chance waiting with God. So no matter how close you think you are to the end of your rope, whether it's your career, whether it's your friendships, your marriage, your relationships with God, or even your relationship with loved ones or God, don't give up. God never runs out of chances for you and me. We just tend to forget that. The last thing I tend to forget is this. God's love never quits, and it never takes a vacation. It says so in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul wrote, I am sure nothing can separate us from God's love. Not life or death, not angels or spirits, not the present or the future, and not the powers above or the powers below. Taking a shower that Wednesday night, just 10 days ago, and Kelly was rehearsing with the youth band. I didn't know it, but God was carrying my little Caleb to the ground in our backyard, 25 feet from his window. Thought about that a lot since then, and realized how good God was to me and Kelly, Katie and Cody, and Caleb. God had my back that night, because God's love never goes on vacation. You know, I work at a firehouse where people love to tell me how bad God is. Well, I'm here to tell you how good God is, and that He loves you and me a billion times more than I love my little Caleb, and I love him a lot. God is the perfect daddy. We just tend to forget that. I am sure that nothing can separate us from God's love. Not life or death, nor angels or spirits, not the present or the future, and not powers above or powers below. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. He always cares, He always loves, and He's always there. We just tend to forget that. Since that Wednesday night, I thought, I don't understand, God. I don't always get it, you know. I thought I was one of the good guys. Why would my son fall 10 feet beyond what a trauma fall is supposed to is at? I just know God loves me was the answer. Why is it my brother who helped me start this church and plays that guitar like crazy for God, why does he get a diagnosis of cancer? I don't know. I just know God loves me. And I know He never takes a vacation from loving me. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you're asking, I don't know. Things aren't going like I designed them. Things aren't going as I would think they should be planned. Well, the thing we tend to forget is God loves you. That means He wants the best for you, and He wants that at His own expense. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, you know what, my resume disqualifies me from a lot of things. Well, I would say to you, friend, that's an untruth. Moses proved that. Peter proved that. David proved that. You're qualified. You're qualified because Jesus opens his arms wide and says, run to me, anybody, and I'll take you. I'll make you what you're supposed to be. Maybe you're thinking, you know what? I've been on this Christian walk for a while, and it's just something I keep making mistakes at. I keep falling down. I keep doing the thing I'm not supposed to do. Well, join the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, and he'll tell you he's doing the same thing. But with God, there's always another chance. So tonight, when you leave this place, I want you to remember maybe one of those things you've been tending to forget. God loves you. You have a resume that he can do wonders with. And there's always another chance for each and every one of us. Would you stand and pray? Lord, we all come here tonight with different places in our heart, different things that have been occupying us, different things that have been taking us on our journey. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight who needs to embrace you, who needs to say, I just want to be loved, let them know that your arms are open wide and all they need to do is say, Lord, I want you. I've made mistakes, but what Jesus did on the cross can wipe those away. Fold them into your arms, Lord, and make them what you want them to be. For those of us, Lord, who need one more chance, I pray that we would bolster the energy and the courage to say, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am going to get up off the ground and keep walking forward, no matter what. Lord, if Abraham Lincoln can be elected the president after all those failures and be such an amazing president, then maybe there's something you can do in our lives when we've fallen down. And Lord, I do pray that we would never forget who you are, that you love us and want to make us all that we can be, and that you've got our back, Lord, even when we take our eyes off of you. You're always there. I want to thank you for that. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this amazing life you've given us, and help us to invest it wisely. We leave ourselves in your hands. Keep us strong through the weekdays, Jesus. In your name, amen. Thank you for being here. We'll be back here next week where we'll be talking about baptism. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you next Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have the coffee on for you.